for him this morning. We're here to worship him. And God, we just put aside all of our emotion. We bring you all of our emotion. We bring you all of our struggle this morning, God. And we worship you anyways. And we thank you, God, because you're so worthy. We lift up your name this morning. Yeah, let's join together, church, this morning. Let's sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy. Just going to read this scripture from Philippians 2. Starting at verse 6, it says, "Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Yeah, that's a story of what we believe. We just thank you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for the cross. Yes, God, we need the cross every day. We just come to you. We say thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that you humbled yourself. You became nothing for us. Thank you for your humility, God. And now you're exalted. You're the name above all names. You're the King of Kings. And you guys, he's here this morning. These aren't just empty words, empty songs. This is the greatest reality, greater than the physical reality, God, we believe. So we worship you, Lord. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation, now revealed, and you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Jesus, you brought heaven down. quickly we forget the God who lives in every day. How easy to lose sight that you reside in the mundane. How quickly we forget the power that's running through our veins, the kind of power that empties graves. Sing that again. And how quickly we forget the God who lives in every day. How easy to lose sight that you reside in the mundane. How quickly we forget the power that's running through our veins.
If you broke through.
bows to. That's who we're talking to. And that's the God who walks with you.
felt the Lord wanted me to read a scripture verse in Isaiah, but before I read that, I believe that I have to read before that. It's in Isaiah 43. It says, "But you are my witnesses, O Israel," says the Lord. O Israel, all of us, you are my witnesses, the Lord says. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, there never will be. Amen? Amen. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I predicted your rescue. This is God saying what he did. He predicted your rescue. Then I saved you. I proclaimed it to the world. No other foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. The same God yesterday, today, forever. The same God that we worship. We don't just sing the songs. We don't just sing pretty songs, but we read those words. That song, Megan, that you sang. Just from my soul. He is the God who saved us. We worship him. We have the privilege, opportunity, and honor to worship him. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. This is the Lord's promise. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon. He goes on to talk about the Babylons and what they did, and they fled in their ships, and that they were so proud of that they had built. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path for the sea. Only God did that. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. And they were snuffed out. He did that to save his people. But then here, I love buts in the Bible. But, right? Amen? Buts change everything. But God. But forget all of that. He's saying, forget what I've done. Forget what I've done in the past. Forget what I've done yesterday. Forget what I did last year. Forget what I did 5 years ago. Forget what I did 10 years ago. Forget what I did 15 years ago. Are you ready, church? Are you ready? I believe that we are on a pivotal moment of time right now. You can either receive it or you can ignore it. You can do whatever you want because that's the kind of God we serve. But God, forget all that. It is nothing, nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Are you getting excited, church? Nothing. Forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Nothing compares to what he's going to do right now at this moment in this church, in this town, in this province. No fear, no sickness, no nothing can take away what God is going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Are you dry? Are you in a wilderness? Are you bewildered? Do you not know what's going on? Are you not sure what's about to happen? I don't know what God's going to do. Maybe he's not going to do anything. Lies, lies. God is about to do something. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Let your worship rise. Let your praise rise. He is a God who's worthy to be praised. My soul tells me, tell your soul who God is. Who is he to you? Is he a distant God? I read this morning. If God is distant, there's only one person who moved, and it wasn't God. So if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're dry, if you're bewildered, if you're disillusioned, you know what? It's not God's fault. I'm just going to leave it there. Amen. So church, get ready. Get ready. We're at a pivotal moment in time. We're at a pivotal moment, and we heard this pastor say he was speaking on pivotal moments, and he wanted to describe it the best of his ability. So what did he do? He decided to jump out of a plane. And that moment before he jumped, what do you think was going through his mind? He was terrified. He was like, oh, I can't do this. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to die. But he jumped anyway. And it was pure exhilaration. It was pure freedom. So church, are you ready to jump? We're at that pivotal moment. And seriously, God has given us a free will. We can choose to do whatever. But I am saying, in faith, I'm going to jump. I am ready for what God has, because I know He has something for us. If you're wondering why Todd's laying on the floor, it's because he's in intercession for this church, for these people, our people, and this town, what God has. So church, get ready. Get ready.
Before Tammy said anything, and you were singing that song two songs ago, that he's not done yet, it just brought me back to so many times in life that I was just like that, incapacitated by the power of God in my life. And I feel like those moments were when God started to birth new things. He started to do something he'd never done before, and I really do believe that he's up to something that we've never seen. He's up to something new, and that's always a good sign. Hey, I have a praise report to read this morning. Queen says, praising God for the successful completion of my transition process with immigration. God made a way for me to become a permanent resident in record time. Praise God. So good. He's putting people where he needs them to be and taking down the barriers to make it happen. Let's pray. God, whether we understand or not, whether we're fearful or not, whether we see the way or not, or whether it's just blind faith, we acknowledge that you're doing something new in each of our lives, and we trust you in that process, even if it's scary, even if we can't see. And we look to you this morning, God, to speak into each of our lives, to keep our hearts soft, to speak your truth and your guidance, your way to each and every one of us in this room this morning. We just give it all to you. It's all we can do. As we take up offering this morning as well, God, we just give back. And we thank you for this house, this family, and in faith we sow into it, knowing that you're doing a new thing. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, it's been an eventful morning already. I love it. So good. Thank you. Worship team, you guys are amazing. So good. Well, how's everyone doing? You all made it, even with an hour less sleep. Proud of you. Good for you. Oh, it's going to be a good morning. Well, I just have a few announcements and things to go through before we get things rolling this morning. First of all, if you're new with us this morning, thank you so much for joining us. It is wonderful to have you. We have Belong cards all around the room. They're the blue cards, and it's just our way of getting to know who you are and helping you to get connected with the life of church here. So if you want to fill one of those out, we've got a gift for you, and there's a box just outside that you can put that into. So that would be great. Let's go through some announcement really quick. On Tuesday, this Tuesday is a ladies' event. They're doing painting here, so that'll be a great time. Please sign up and join them for that. It'll be a great time. Next Saturday, we have prayer here. Now, this is not just a random corporate prayer, but this is our purposeful prayer that we're doing once a month, praying into a worship night that we're going to be launching hopefully in the fall. But we're setting time apart as a church once a month to gather on a Saturday night and really press in and pray and ask God what he has and what his vision is for the next things that are launching for us as a church. So I encourage you to join us on Saturday evening, 7 o'clock. I promise you'll be out the doors by 8:30. We won't keep you captive for hours, but come press in with us, worship with us, and that would be amazing. The next day, so the next Sunday, is Teen Challenge. They're coming to join us. They'll be speaking and sharing about their mission and their lives in young people who need a hand up. So we're excited to have them next week. And last but not least, the following Saturday, so two Saturdays from now, we have Doug Phaneuf joining us for Men's Breakfast. We're really looking forward to it. He's the senior pastor of Living Springs in Airdrie, the church my mom goes to, which is kind of crazy. But he's an amazing man of God and just a very well-articulated man and just has a very high perspective in terms of ministry, church leadership, men's ministry. And so we're really looking forward to having him join us. And if I could have Sharon come, she's just going to share some things on Bibles for Grads coming up.
Hi, everyone. Bibles for Grads this year is April the 9th. It's a Thursday just right before Good Friday. And this is our 25th year of giving Bibles to the grade 12 students in our area. And these kids, it's usually the very first time they've ever had contact with a Christian. Not always. There are some vocal Christians in the high schools, but we just want to leave them with a really sweet taste in their mouths of Jesus and his love for them. So that's the whole purpose of it. And we give out name engraved Bibles. They're quite expensive this year, over $5,000. And so what we are asking the churches to do is first to pray, because only God makes these things happen and keeps the doors open. And we also need people to write notes of encouragement. And if you could see Lori, she has them, some names. God has given me just a great team of ladies that help this thing happen, so it's awesome. But we really have a lot of young men, so youth pastors in the area that come and they serve in the front of everybody. So it's not just women that are the face of the church, but a lot of young men too. And some more things that we need besides prayer and notes of encouragement. I need one more person if they would donate a turkey, another person to cook it, or that person can do both. I also need prizes. We try to give each student a prize that comes, and they all get a Lakewood Golf Pass, which is awesome, but we also try to get them one more prize. So if you are a business and you want to donate, that would be awesome. We would really appreciate it. Doesn't really matter what it is, but hopefully something that a young person would enjoy. We also need kitchen help. Men around 10:30, 11 to mash potatoes, because these pots are huge and we can't lift them off the stove, and decorating and cleanup. And so that's April the 9th, the Thursday. It starts at 8:30 if you want to help set up tables or decorate. And we are out of the main area by 1:30 and the kitchen by hopefully 2. So thank you so much for all you give.
All right, so this morning we have our very own Allison Amater coming to speak with us this morning, which is amazing. It's a privilege we get usually once a year, and it's always just so insightful, and she's just an amazingly articulate teacher and just has insights into our hearts and who we are and what God says, and I'm just excited to hear her, so help me welcome her.
Okay, I've got my... Thank you. Good morning. I introduce myself at a lot of the things I go to. I say, hi, I'm Allison Amater, and I'm a farmer. And today that matters. It really does. I'm sure you kind of guessed by the pail of wheat. This, in case you're wondering, this is farmer Tupperware, you know. I've been planning this sermon long enough that last September I asked Andrew to cut some wheat before we got to the edge of the field so that I'd be ready when it came time sometime this winter to deliver this message to you, and it's been percolating ever since then. So a lot of what you're going to get today is a result of a lot of percolation, as opposed to just here's a scripture, talk on it. Probably the biggest reason I wanted to speak is because I think a lot of us are disconnected from the very root messages of the Bible. I'm a farmer. I live on a farm right now, southwest of Sylvan, very close to Mike and Kim, who I think are the only other farmers in the congregation, but correct me if I'm wrong. My father and his father farmed at Swift Current, and their father and fathers before them farmed in Brittany, and I can trace it back to about the 1600s. I suspect there were farmers before that, so it's in my veins, and I grew up with it, and I've always seen it. So when I read in the Bible a scripture about something like separating the wheat from the chaff, I kind of go, oh, you know, I get it. And yet, I think a lot of us, when we read it, we say, I wonder what that means, and we move right along, right? We don't go to Wikipedia and say, what's wheat and chaff? We just move right along. But it's not just this scripture. Is my clicker going to work for me, Tom? I've got it on, and I'm hitting a button. Could be the wrong button. Give me some hints. This button? You know, I swear I'm good with microphones. I'm horrible with clickers. Hey, there we go. What'd you hit? Which one?
I turned it on.
Oh. Okay, evidently I turned it off. Okay, so I want to run through just a few examples in the Bible, and honestly, I could have picked about 500. I just randomly picked them. One of the first stories we're told is Cain and Abel. Cain was a grain farmer. Abel was a livestock farmer. Right from the get-go, you kind of have to understand the difference. By the way, I'm not going into all of these. You'd be here till 4. Noah. We all know about the flood, right? Everybody talks about the flood. One of the first things that Noah did when he got off the ark, he planted a vineyard. And we have a very strange story after that that involved him and the vineyard, but you have to understand agriculture to know what was going on there. When Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Israel from Kadesh Barnea and said, go check it out, see what it's like, see what this land that was promised to us is like. The spies came back and they said, it's flowing with milk and honey. Agricultural references. And they brought this huge cluster of grapes that they had to have a post between two of them to carry it because it was so big. Because they wanted to show the people, we're going to thrive there. We can grow food. Agriculture is about growing food and feeding people. And that was the first thing the spies told them all. If you think about David's great-grandmother, I think that's correct. His great-grandmother, Ruth, was from Moab, and there was a huge famine in Moab. Famine, farmers couldn't grow anything to feed the people. So she and her mother-in-law left Moab, came to Israel, wound up beside one of the fields of Boaz, and he told his harvesters, when you gather the wheat, leave a few. So they were supposed to pick them all, get every last kernel, because that was food. He said, leave a few for the gleaners. And Ruth followed behind and picked them up in her apron, took them home, ground them out. She was able to feed herself and her mother. It's really a beautiful picture, and it led to her becoming the great-grandmother of David. It's a very strange story. I'm not a livestock person. You're going to Mike if you want more insight into this one. But after Jacob had served 14 years for Laban to earn the wife he wanted and the wife he got, he wanted to leave with Leah and with Rachel, with his family, and go back to Israel. Laban didn't want him to, so he said, tell you what, here's how we'll decide how to separate everything. We're going to separate the spotted and the black sheep. And when we're all done, I'll take the spotted, you take the black. It's just the most interesting agricultural reference. Again, all of these, I encourage you to dig deep into them. Again, this is so complete in the history of Israel. They were given feasts in Exodus and Leviticus that they were to celebrate, and they all celebrate them today. If you meet a Jewish person, they are celebrating the seven feasts that they were mandated to celebrate forever. Most of them are related to agriculture. They're harvest feasts. They're asking for a blessing on it. It's so deep. If you don't understand agriculture, you're missing some of the deepness of what God's saying. Even something like a plague of locusts. Most of us look at that and go, oh, bugs, that'd be so disgusting. You know what those locusts did? They ate every last kernel of wheat. The people starved when a plague of locusts came through. A plague was killing them for that reason. So I want to skip forward to Jesus. Jesus told all kinds of parables that were agricultural. And the people around him, because they were all so connected to the land, they heard what he said and they went, oh. So when he told the parable of the sower and the seeds, they got it. When he talked about the man that planted a vineyard, they could think about their neighbor. They knew where he was going, right? And separating the wheat from the tares, which I'm going to do here, they knew what that was. They didn't have modern herbicides that could take the weeds out of the wheat when they planted them. They let everything grow up, because if you pulled out wheat with the weeds, you were liable to pull out the wheat also, right? You tried to get a weed, and you know, out comes the wheat. So all of these they understood. And on and on, like I said, I could have had 50 of these. In the Bible, there are 51 references to wheat alone. That's not barley, that's not cattle and oxen, that's not sheep and goats, that's wheat alone. So what I want you to know here today is the reason I'm speaking to you is not just because God gave me this, downloaded this words that he wants me to speak to you. It is because we understand the Bible more if we understand the basic idea of the people he was talking to. I always tell people, if you've got a chance to go to Israel, go to Israel. Because when you walk the land that Jesus walked and you see the things that he was so familiar with, you understand more of what the Bible's all about. And for me, I want to understand every word that is spoken in the Bible. So I'm going to start today with the parable of the wheat and the tares. A tare is an oldie-timey word for a wheat. So, I've got one and not the other. That's going to be a problem because I can't read that. So I'm going to get somebody at the back to read it to me since I don't have it memorized. There we go. So here's the story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. Just so you know, no farmers plant weeds. Weeds have this ability to always be there. But the farmer planted good seeds. But as his workers slept, the enemy came along and planted the weeds. And I think that's true today. The enemy tries so hard to do whatever he can to steal, kill, and destroy. And in this case, the illustration is that he's trying to destroy the wheat. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where do they come from?" "An enemy has done this," he said. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied, "you'll uproot the wheat if you do." There's a weed that we deal with here in North America called Persian darnel. As it's growing, it looks like wheat or barley. Like, it looks like it. When you're out in your garden and you want to pick carrots, it's pretty easy to say, carrot, not a carrot, carrot, not a carrot. But we all know when you're trying to pick the weed between the carrots, you pull three carrots when you don't mean to. With wheat, even if they were going out to rogue the field and take the weeds, there's certain weeds that you can't tell until they get older. So he says, no, don't do it. "Let them both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them." and put the wheat in the barn. Now, I want you to know this is not what I'm talking about today, but I needed you to hear this one first. In this scripture, there's some really, really clear parallels. The field is the world. The field is not the church. We're not talking about wheat and weed and weeds in the church. We're talking about the world. And anyone here that doesn't know that there is wheat, which is people who love the Lord and have taken Jesus as their Savior, and there are tares, which is people who do not love God and have not taken Jesus. I know you know that. The hard part is the end part, the harvest. It's all great for those of us that have taken Jesus. Heaven is the ultimate barn, right? Can't wait to get there. Mike's dad always calls the church the sheep shed. So here, the harvest is the barn, right? But the hard part of this is all of those tares that were bundled up and thrown in the fires. The fires are hell. Those tares are not going to be in the barn. So I wanted to begin today by saying, if you don't know Jesus, there is no better day than today and no better time than right now. And you need to say, Jesus, I want to be part of your final harvest. I believe in you. I love you. I believe you died for me. Please forgive me. Take me as your own. I take you as my Savior. And if you do that today, come up to me after, because I thought, I've always wanted to have like a reminder of when I became a Christian. You've got a head of wheat waiting for you to take home and put in your Bible if you became a Christian today. Plus, I want to pray for you. But I want you to know, and don't wait. We do not know. The harvest could be at the end of the world when our time on earth is done, when God says, enough, and closes it down. Or it could be on the way home today when you're in an accident. It could be anything. Don't wait. Please don't wait. So, having said all that, I want to go to the message today. This is something that is recorded in both Matthew and Luke in almost identical words. It's really rare that the words in two Gospels are almost identical. They're always similar. They have the same intention, almost identical. Jesus is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. He will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into the barn, but burning the chaff with his never-ending fire. So I want to take you back a bit. They would grow wheat in a field, much like we do. Then they would come along with a big, we call them a scythe. There's probably other names. It's like a big knife. And they would go like this, and they would cast the knife through the field, and it would cut the wheat, and it would fall down. The wheat and the tares and everything together, and it would fall over. And then people would follow behind them, and they would gather the wheat into bundles, tie it up and stand it upright. We've called it stooks. And then it dries. So when it's standing upright, the moisture dries out of it, everything dries. You can't deal with wet grain, you need dry grain. And then when it's dry, they would take those stooks, they would collect them on wagons or on donkeys or people, whatever it is, and they would take them to a threshing floor. Now, a classic threshing floor is the highest point that you can haul them to, because what you want to do is you want to bang on that wheat, whether it's by stomping on it or dragging a stone over it or like hitting it with a broom. They had special threshing brooms, different ways of doing it, but you want to bang on it, because as you bang on it, what happens is the long part here, that's the stem, the straw, and the leaves. This is going to be used for animal bedding. There's not a lot of food value in that. They might eat the odd amount, but a lot of it goes to bedding. That's why we bale a lot of our straw today. It's for bedding. But then you've got this head of wheat left, and when you crumble it up, you've got a whole lot of these long, we call them awns. They're just a long pokey thing that gets in everything. Has no value. And then around every grain of wheat, which is where all the nourishment is, there's a thin little wispy, chaffy thing. See how the wispy stuff just falls? And the more I do this, the wheat stays behind, and the wispy stuff, it just falls away. Now, you don't need that wispy stuff. There's a wee little bit of food value in it. I mean, there's food value in everything that grows. Pretty minimal. Some of that chaff today goes into the straw. We put it back into our land for organic matter. If it does get in with the grain and get sorted out, it might go towards pelletized chicken feed or something like that, but very little value. Not a whole lot of value to it. But the wheat, that's life-giving. That's got protein. That's what we need, right? So up on that threshing floor, they'd go to this very, very high spot. They'd stomp on it until the wheat and the chaff are all separated. And then they would take these huge brooms, they called them winnowing forks, and they would throw it in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away. Do not stand downwind of a winnowing fork. That was one of the first rules the farm kids learned, right? So they throw it up, and the wind blows it away, which is why threshing floors were tall places. Interestingly, again, we're told stories in the Bible, and the most famous one is the threshing floor of Araunah. It was on the top of Mount Moriah, where Abraham had offered up, or gone to offer up Isaac, and the ram was stuck. That very same place, threshing floor of Araunah, where David said was told he could stop the plague over Israel if he went and bought that floor and offered up sacrifices. That threshing floor is where Solomon's temple got built in what is today Jerusalem. A threshing floor where the wheat was separated from the chaff is where the temple of Jerusalem ended up. These are all our sermons. I'm not going there, but I wanted to leave them all with you. So the wheat has to be separated from the chaff. This is just to give you an idea so you can visualize what it is. But you can see where the chaff has grown up around the wheat in the plant. The chaff was part of the plant through its entire growing time. You're not separating the wheat from the chaff when the wheat is three little stems out of the ground, or when the wheat is green and still needs nourishment, because the chaff is doing part of its function then and helping the wheat to mature. It's an important part of the plant until you get to harvest, in which time it is not necessary. It's not even valuable. When you think about the value of things, the wheat is such a valuable thing. It has so many nutrients in it. It has been called the bread of life. It is what in some cultures is one of the only things that they're getting all of their nourishment from. The chaff, we're throwing it away. So when I go back to the verse says that Jesus is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. He's throwing them in the air, and he's collecting the wheat. And then he's going to sweep off the floor and get rid of all the chaff and take his wheat. He's getting ready to do that. I want to go back to this again. I want you to hear me really clearly. The chaff and the wheat were important together. The wheat needed the chaff to continue to grow. So as I was preparing for this message, where I thought we were going and where we're going, they kind of separated. This is not a salvation message. Separating the wheat from the tares, that's a salvation message. Get that one clearly. The weeds are going in the barn. But the chaff, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, the chaff is the stuff that's been in me as I've been growing. The stuff that maybe protected me so that I could grow. You know, I've often thought, some of the stuff that I look at now and I consider, ooh, that was kind of a negative part of my life. It got me through my teen years. You know, it was probably in my back-looking view, in my hindsight, it was a really crappy part of my personality. But if I hadn't had that protective chaff around me, I might not have made it through my teen years with some of the things that were going on. As I matured, I started dropping off chaff. Now, if you think I have no chaff left, you are wrong. God is still pointing out chaff to me, and he has been using the preparation of this message to point out chaff to me. it's a little bit painful sometimes, you know. The chaff is a part of you that is not life-giving. God field going into the barn. So I think of things, I can tell you one of mine that I'm still working on. God's still working on. I am a procrastinator. I'm really proud of myself. I actually got my PowerPoint together a week ago, but it's only because I was in Vancouver this week and knew I wouldn't do it otherwise. Otherwise, I would have left it till yesterday. And that's not good. And I know that's not God. I know he wants me to be prepared. Now, for some of you, your chaff is all going to be different. Now, here's when I want to step back one and say, I want you to know the difference between conviction, which is of the Holy Spirit. He came to convict us to holiness, and condemnation, which comes from the enemy of our souls. He loves to come and say, remember when you did that? And he will bring up things that have long been forgiven by Jesus because you took them to him. And sometimes we just have to go, yeah, I dealt with that. Go away. Jesus forgave me. That's condemnation. Conviction is that Holy Spirit saying, I'm talking to you here. You can hear her saying chaff, and you're thinking about this. I want you to deal with it today. You know, today. That's conviction. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is always towards holiness, and I'm grateful for it. I gave you a few pictures. I seriously debated having the kids come up and stomp out the wheat, and then I saw the error of my ways. So we're going to go with the pictures instead. But if you guys want to take wheat home and stomp it outside, you're allowed. It's really messy. But this is classic. And there's countries today, they're still doing this. I was in Egypt and by the River Nile, and I saw oxen going round and round with a stick, turning a thing, treading out wheat. I was just blown away that something that happened 5,000 years ago is still happening today. But in a lot of countries in the world, harvest is still very manual, and that's what you're doing. When you see that great big square box out in the field, the combine, that's what we're doing. We're separating the wheat from the chaff. So this is an example of people out there treading it out. This is another one of those ones I had to stop and think about as I was preparing. Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith would not fail. That your faith would not fail. That your faith would not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. I have always looked at this scripture and said, oh good, Jesus prayed for him so he didn't get sifted. That's great. No. I think the sifting's good because it's separating the wheat from the chaff. Jesus prayed for him so that as he was sifted, his faith would not fail. He would repent and he would turn. I completely changed my mind on this verse as I was preparing for the other verse, because instead of saying, oh, you know, Jesus, pray that I don't get sifted like wheat, I'm like, okay, Jesus, I know I need to get sifted. Help me that my faith does not fail. Help me to repent for the chaff in my life that I can move forward. Because that's what he wants, right? He wants, I mean, we will not be holy and blameless until the day that we stand before him and he does his final work. But I don't want to get dragged in muddy and just a filthy whatever and then have him say, couldn't you have done some of this work here on earth? I also know that the more we can become like God, the more our light shines to everyone else. The more they say, I want what she's got. And we say, it's him. It's not me. It's him. That's why we're doing this. This isn't about brownie points and let's give you an award to pin on. This is about becoming more like Jesus so that you can go out in the world, stand strong, be a beacon of light, of hope for a world that doesn't have that. So I no longer pray that Satan will not sift me. I pray that it will strengthen my faith. I will stand strong. I will repent. And I will go forward. I told Pastor Todd up in the prayer room, I said, God changed my sermon. It was far more of a little bit of an agricultural analogy with some, you know, some encouragement. It became a holiness sermon. It became a cry for a holiness revival. It became a plea that you will allow Jesus to burn up the chaff. And some of that chaff you're really familiar with because it's been wrapped around you for a long time. It's like part of your identity. I want you to know your identity is that kernel of wheat. That other stuff, it doesn't have to be part of your identity. You don't have to keep saying, that's just the way I am. You can say, nope, I submitted and I let the sifting happen and the chaff is coming off and I am pure and holier as a result. This is my prayer. I have an offer for you. You come forward for prayer. There are people who will pray for you. I'll give you a head of wheat to take home and put in your Bible. But I want you to know, if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, yeah, listen to him. If you're feeling condemned, you can say, get thee behind me, Satan, because I've dealt with that. Unless you're not a Christian and you're hearing the conviction saying you need to do this, please, please come for that too. But I'm telling you, we need a Holy Spirit revival. And the only way to get rid of chaff is the Holy Spirit. He is the only one standing there with the winnowing fork. We submit to him. He does it. That last song you did, Megan, was like my theme song today. And what Tammy had to say, just right? So I am done, but the Holy Spirit is not. I would encourage you to come forward for prayer. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. It's all your work, Lord. This is all your work. Lord, you reveal things to us, stuff that's hindering us, our self-protection. So that's what Allison talked about, self-protection, all those things. Holy Spirit's speaking right now, and he's... for your obedience.
Kind of power that empties grace.
Must we not forget the voice that's holding back the waves? Was once the voice that told the skies to pour them into place. And let us join the endless song of everlasting praise. The only one who empties grace.
Jesus. I don't know how to say this other than, I mean, Tammy testified. Church, get ready. It's bursting forth. Church, listen to me. It's bursting forth. The dam is about to break. Listen to me, church. The dam is about to break. This church has been stuck. For whatever reason, the generational things or indifference or sin or whatever it is, but the dam is about to break. 5 or 6 of us from this church went to the Soul Care Conference in Edmonton, and all I can say is, oh my, oh my. One of the greatest experiences of my life. Presence of God was so wonderful. Was it not, Mike? Was it not? Eileen, was it not? Beautiful people. Presence of Jesus was so rich and so strong and so thick. And it lingered into today, and it's coming. It's coming. I don't know how else to say this other than just say it. I wish there was more to hear it, but who's here is going to hear it. There's going to be personal revival, and there's going to be corporate revival that's going to happen. There's going to be personal revival in you. There's going to be corporate revival in this city. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's going to use us, or he's going to pass us by and use someone else. But you know what? I'm in the lineup. I'm in the queue. He's going to use me. Is he going to use you? Come on, I need some hands. Is he going to use you? Are you open to personal revival? Are you open to corporate revival? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It will happen. The Spirit of God is saying it is going to happen. And I got good news. He can use you. You say, oh, it can't use me. Oh, that's some chaff. Allison, that's some chaff. He can't use me. That's some chaff. And it's coming off today. It's coming off today. The lies of insecurity are coming off today. The lies of shame are coming off today. The chaff of shame, the chaff of shame is coming off all over this place. All over this place. The chaff of shame, insecurity, lack of value, lack of personal value, not thinking that you're worthy. If you got Jesus, I got good news, you're worthy. If you got Jesus, I got good news, you're worthy. You know why you're worthy? Because you got Jesus, and he loves you. Oh, come on, somebody say amen, he loves you. Whoa, somebody say amen. Somebody else say amen. Come on. A bit of an ouch. It's a bit of an ouch, but Jesus loves you. I love you. It's a bit of an ouch, but get ready for this. It's said in love. This is said with intense love right now. If you want a personal revival, just bring it down just a little bit. This is very sober. If you want a personal revival, that's healing and freedom in your life, and healing and freedom in other people's lives, you will be inconvenienced. You will be inconvenienced. There will be inconvenience. This isn't legalism. This is not religion. This is just the Spirit of God speaking. You will be inconvenienced. You will do things that aren't convenient. You will do things, God is going to ask you to do things that's not convenient. But you're getting rid of the chaff. Getting rid of the chaff means you're going to do stuff that's inconvenient. Whew. this Saturday night, corporate prayer, we're drilling for God. We need to hear from God. Our direction, worship experience, worship night, we got to hear from God. We need a move of God here. We're praying for a move of God. That's it. We're praying for a move of God. We're praying for a move of God. We're praying for a move of God. Saturday night is inconvenient. Well, the Waltons are on. I can't miss that. Extreme Home is on that night. I can't miss that. PVR it. Jesus has given us PVR. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us PVR. Greatest gift from God. PVR it. Come Saturday night. We're going to have a breakthrough. Oh, come on. Woo! Pernavea was like, what is wrong with Poppy? He's laid out. What is wrong with Poppy? I'm sorry, honey, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Don't worry, honey, it's just Jesus. Okay, two more things. Number one is we're going to pray for Dion because it's his birthday today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy
birthday, dear
Dion. Happy birthday to you. We love you, brother. We love you, brother. Jesus, we bless what you're doing in this place. Father, thank you for today. Lord, bless Allison. Thank you for her obedience. Thank you for this great family. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We've just started. It's like an iceberg, Lord. We're just seeing the peak. We're just seeing the top of the iceberg. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless everyone today, Jesus. May the grace and the peace and the mercy and the fire and the hope of Jesus be manifest on every life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. We're just going to open this place up. It's just going to be a prayer room. If you want to stay, let's just linger and enjoy Jesus. If you got to go, be blessed, 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 be blessed. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed.
Your word made the mountains. It can move them all the same. Death fell before you.
Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed.
And the power that raised you is about to move again. You broke through the oceans. You break through these chains. The word made the mountain. It can move them all the same. Death fell before you. You said, the power that raised you.
Tell me that he's finished.